الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming, amongst the various bounties, favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, one of the greatest privileges is to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say that our Creator, our Khaliq, our Malik, our Raziq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Kareem. And the definition of Kareem, Al-Kareem alladhi yu'ti bidun al-istihqaq wal-minna. That Kareem is that being that He grants favors and bounties despite the recipient of that favor not being worthy of those bounties. So amongst us, all of us who are seated here, can any of us really claim that it is because of some special sifat and quality of ours, because of some great context that we had, and that is why we were chosen and selected to be from the great Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is a fact that there were great pious people from the nations before. In fact, they were Anbiya and Prophets who also had that deep-hearted desire to be from the best of all Ummah, of Umam, the best of all nations, the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, myself and you have been selected to be from this Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say to ourselves that it is only out of the karam of Allah ta'ala, out of the sifat of Kareemi, that Allah Ta'ala knows that we didn't deserve it. There's no real speciality in us, that we were chosen and selected to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a great privilege. And of course, every single privilege and every single title, whether we like it or we don't like it, it comes with a corresponding set of responsibilities. I recall on one occasion, our late Mohammed Patan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was performing one nikah. And then he mentioned, "Bhai, when you're signing, whether you like it or you don't like it, there is also a set of corresponding responsibilities that comes on the shoulder." Now the wife asked for milk and bread. He said, "Mohammed Sahib, when I was signing, there was no clause of milk and bread in there. There was no fine print. It was a simple little nikah register. But it is understood that when the person takes on that responsibility of being the husband, so now he's saying to the father-in-law that you now, your responsibility of seeing to this, your daughter, I will now shoulder it. I will look after this daughter of yours." And on this point, we can just digress a little, that we must remind ourselves that this wife that we have in our nikah and in our marriage, she is the daughter of someone else. Keep on asking yourself that how would you like your daughter to be treated? If you had a daughter and your daughter went into someone else's home, how would you like your daughter to be treated? That remember, that wife of yours is the daughter of someone else. And even if her father may have passed away, is she not the slave and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes a person says that, you know, my father-in-law is a, you know, kickboxer, or is a heavyweight champion, so I won't take any chances. But sometimes the father-in-law has passed away, and now the person becomes very, very bold and very, very brave. So ask yourself the question, that you are afraid of that father-in-law who is a kickboxer or a, you know, he's got a black belt or brown belt or whatever belts they may be. So whatever belt he has under, but there is a being that's far greater than him. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is the slave and the servant of Allah ta'ala, and Allah has interceded on her behalf in the Quran Majeed, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that live with your wives in an amicable and in a kind manner. So nevertheless, coming back to the discussion at hand, is that every single title comes with a corresponding set of responsibilities. So we are very excited, we are elated, it is a privilege that we have been selected and we have been chosen to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a great title and it is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and definitely there will be great privileges with it. We will be favored, we are being favored in this world already, and there will be great favors awaiting for us inshallah in the year after. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be favored tremendously. Imagine that Nabi of Allah will intercede on behalf of every single ummati of his on the day of Qiyamah. What a favor this is. That is why it is mentioned in some ahadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will refuse to enter Jannah until his last ummati has gained entry into Jannah. How fortunate, what a favor. So this is a great favor and a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time we need to be cautious and careful. Sometimes the person says that I got my ticket, so I can just relax. I can just relax, I've got my ticket. You may have your ticket, but you need to make sure that everything else conforms. In the same way we have the ticket, we have this title to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to ensure that everything else is in order. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, describes the sifat and the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are also advised in other verses of the Quran and Majeed, that if we will implement and we will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is the path that will lead us to success. This is the path that will lead us towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. We don't have time to go into the translation and to the elaboration of this. But in other words, in short, if you want success, follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is an excellent example for you. You have a role model. Again, Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah used to say, why do you call the person a role model? Because we roll behind that person. We roll behind him. That is the model, that is the example. We will roll behind him, step by step. In Urdu they say, Naqsh-e qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Hazrat Shakim Akhtar sahab, unke ashaar hai, say, Naqsh-e qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That in following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Naqsh-e qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. This is the pathway to Jannah. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. And by implementing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives, and this sunnah, this topic of sunnah is vast. We have the external sunnah and we have the internal sunnats. The external sunnats meaning the dress of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the usage of the miswak, you know, dressing in accordance to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keeping the face in accordance to the chehra of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub rahmatullah alayhi, on this particular point, he says that at least on the day of Qiyamah, I will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I have Tere Mahbub ki Ya Rab Shabahat leke ayahu. Tere Mahbub ki Ya Rab Shabahat leke ayahu. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de, main surat leke ayahu. حقیقت اس کتبو کر دے میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں. Oh Allah, I have implemented the external features of Rasulullah SAW into my life. You put the reality in. So in this also, for those mashallah who are keeping the beard, wearing the kurta, this is a cure for any pride. That now when the person is wearing that kurta and he has the long beard, now he doesn't regard himself as superior. He says, Ya Allah, there is still something that you need to put the reality and the qualities and the sifat of Rasulullah SAW into my life and into my heart. That kindness, that generosity, that love, that compassion, that spirit of sacrificing for the sake of others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. An excellent role model. And in these verses of the Quran and Majeed, Allah ta'ala has discussed a few qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to implement it. One is a person can give a lengthy bayan, 2 hour bayan, 3 hour bayan. But the real question is, how much of that bayan have we implemented in our lives? Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah used to say, there's bayan after bayan after bayan. And he used to say, soon we can list on the stock exchange bayans unlimited. Bayans unlimited on the stock exchange. In those days, we still remember, they used to have a cassette. And you had to record on the cassette. And then when you come to the end of the cassette, then you press the stop button and take it out and turn it the other way and put it down. And the person, to store all those cassettes, you need a lot of space. Nowadays, you find on a small little USB, or sometimes on the person's computer, he's got hundreds of thousands of bayans. On one website, there's thousands of bayans. But how much of those bayans are in our lives? That's the question. That's the real question. Otherwise, maybe we can say that the computer can be given some khilafat. The computer can be an alim too. But no one says that this computer is a molisab or an alim, or this computer is a very deendar computer, because there's so much of deen on this computer. Or somebody says this computer has got a lot of sabr and patience. Or this computer has got a lot of compassion. Or this USB stick has got a lot of sincerity. Because there's so many hours of bayans and sincerity on this flash drive. But when a person will implement those bayans into his life, and now we see that sincerity in his actions, now we'll say, this is a sincere man. The person implemented those qualities of kindness and compassion for others, we'll say, this man is a compassionate man. This man is a generous man. So therefore, bayans, we can have bayan after bayan after bayan. How much of that bayan is implemented in our lives? That is when the sifat and the qualities will become alive. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Nabi, inna arsalnaka, we have sent you shahidan wa mubashira. We have sent you as a witness. Mufassirin explained that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conveyed the message. He conveyed the message with great love, with great hikmah and wisdom. And there were some individuals who accepted, and there were others who rejected. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will bear testimony to this fact that, Ya Allah, I conveyed this message to such and such person, or the message was conveyed to certain individuals, but instead of listening, they rejected. Wa mubashshira, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a giver of glad tidings. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions in the Quran and Majeed, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فِي رَوْضَاتِ الْجَنَّاتِ. Mufassirin explained that the glad tidings are for the believers. For those individuals who bring iman and do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them rawdat, gardens of Jannah, gardens in paradise. This is the glad tidings that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Allah ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. That is the real bounty and real grace that a person will get. In this world, in this world, a person will get a property. A person will purchase a large piece of land. Or sometimes a person purchases a beautiful vehicle. And he feels like he's really achieved something. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, in the hereafter, this is absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Whatever we acquire in this world is so temporary. Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah used to give the example. He says, we are all living in timeshare apartments. That's the reality of this world. The person gets his title deed, you know, he worked for 20 years, you know, he started off small, and then he expanded, invested here, invested there. Now he's finally, perhaps he's got approval some Sharia compliant or some private person loaned him some money and he managed to purchase his first home. Now he feels that that is the real achievement. I've been able to purchase my own home. I've got a sense of security. Now he gets that title deed in his hand. What a sense of accomplishment for him. But the reality of it is this, that the person will only live in that house as long as he is alive. Once he leaves this world, that house now is transferred to his heirs. And now the heirs will take that house and sometimes they'll sell it and then distribute the shares. Or perhaps he's got one son, the son may take that home. The son will live in that home for a period of time. And then that home is then, when he leaves this world, it's transferred to his heirs. In Johannesburg, there was one home we went to visit. So that person, he was a doctor. So he, outside the home, he had the name of his great-grandfather. He said, Morana, this house was my great-grandfather's house. When he passed away, it came to my father. My father passed away, it came to me. So what happened? So it transferred from one to the next. So each person only lived in that home for a period of time, like what we say, a timeshare apartment. Sometimes the person goes for a holiday. Now he books in, he gets his confirmation, very excited. I'm going to stay in this particular property. I've got 1 week here. 1 week, is I can use everything. Lovely couches, nice, beautiful scenery. I've got a balcony overlooking the ocean. Now he enjoys all of that. But at the back of the mind, he knows that after 1 week, I have to leave it behind. I have to move on. In the same way, everything that you have, that beautiful car, that beautiful home, the title deed of which you've placed in your safe, or you've kept in safekeeping, keep on reminding yourself, it is but a timeshare apartment. You're going to have to leave it behind. You're going to have to move on. Shukr qabriya tak ponchane walo shukriya. Shukriya qabr tak ponchane walo shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. The person says to those people who are carrying him, as he's being escorted for his final journey to the grave, he says, Shukriya qabr tak ponchane walo shukriya. Ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge. Now, I thank you for escorting me to my grave. Now, from this station, I will be all on my own. Everything is left behind. The home is left behind. The car is left behind. The cell phone is left behind. The watch is left behind. The expensive smartwatch is left behind. Whatever the person may have acquired will be left behind. It has, ownership has transferred. Somebody else now, it belongs to somebody else. It's no longer his belonging. And even if the person took it to his grave, there was no point. He will not be able to benefit from it in any way whatsoever. So, the reality of this world is absolutely temporary. In fact, in one verse of the Quran Sharif, it is mentioned that one day of the year after is equivalent to 1,000 years of this world. 1,000 years. When a person goes to the year after, he'll ask his friends, Allah Ta'ala take us all to Jannah. But when we'll be asking our friends and talking together and discussing, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ. How long did we stay in this world? How long were we there in this world? The response will be given when they compare it to the year after. They said that we stayed perhaps a day or part of a day. We were in this world for just a day or part of a day. Now ask yourself the question. If you were traveling and you had to do some business and they told you you just got 3 days to do, to make the deal or break the deal. You can make the deal or you can break the deal, you've got 3 days. Now the person went 3 days and wasted his time, squandered his time. What kind of regret and remorse there will be? May Allah protect us. Whereas the person went, he said, I'm only here for 3 days. Or I only got 48 hours. Or I only got 24 hours. Now the person applies himself. He gets a little tired in the process. But he knows at the end of it all, I'm going to be acquiring great profits. I've struck the deal. Forget that deal. I managed to get 2 deals. He connected me to another wealthy person there. And he signed the contract. So we got 2 contracts. He feels like he's really achieved something. In the same way, we are in this world for a very short period of time. And when a person will move to the year after, he will ask himself the question, that why did I attach myself to this world to that extent? Again, it does not mean that we cannot acquire the wealth of this world. But don't let the heart become so attached that it diverts you from your real goal and real objective in this world. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a giver of glad tidings. That, O believers, O ummatis, there is great reward for you. Forget one garden, there are multiple gardens of heaven that are waiting for you. Don't waste your opportunity in this world. Try and populate and try and beautify your gardens of Jannah. Nabi Kareem Sa'asim was Mubashira. He was a giver of glad tidings in abundance. Mufassirin explain, Allah Ta'ala has used exaggeration in this word. That not just simple glad tidings, but intense glad tidings. Wa nadhira. And Nabi Kareem Sa'asim was also a warner. There is a balance. It's not only about glad tidings, but there are also warnings. That if you are not going to conduct yourself in this world appropriately, despite having this great privilege of being the follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you're not going to appreciate this blessing, then be warned. A person, the greater his role and responsibility, and the more negligence is shown in this role, the greater the consequences. Sometimes you find in the home, a small little three-year-old child, the father says to the three-year-old child, it's an example, can you bring me a glass of water? So that three-year-old or three-and-a-half or four-year-old child brings the water and while it's walking, perhaps drops half the water on the floor. But finally reaches the father will congratulate that child. MashaAllah, you brought the water for me. What a wonderful child you are. But now the child, the same father has got a son who's 16 years old or 70 years old, and now he brings the water and he drops half. So now the father won't congratulate that son. He says, you can't walk straight. You can't walk properly. Why are you not focusing when you're walking with the water? You dropped half the water on the floor. Bring the mop and clean up here. Why there is a difference? It's two children. The one has got greater level, greater status, more intelligence. So in the same way, we claim to be from the Ummah of Rasulullah. So we have the greatest status. From all the nations, we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to realize it comes with great responsibility. So on the one hand, we can celebrate the fact that we are the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But on the other hand, we have to keep on asking ourselves the question that am I really one who exemplifies or displays the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life? That when someone meets me, he says that, are you a Muslim? Are you a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If you are a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you dealing in business in this manner? How often we hear people saying that I rather deal with non-Muslim people than dealing with Muslims. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Whereas it's supposed to have been the other way around. I cannot trust, the people say today, I cannot trust a Muslim person. I can't trust him. And the more pious he appears to be, the more I have to be careful. The more I have to be cautious. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. The person is displaying that he's a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but his character, his kindness is missing. Once, one great, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, was a khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Rizaab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. He says that I came into the masjid and I saw a young man. He was performing salah with such devotion and concentration, and externally he looked so pious. But he said what happened was, as he was leaving the masjid, there was an elderly man who didn't have good eyesight. And he was walking, and whilst walking, he stumbled over this young person. He said, the way this youngster retaliated and insulted this old man, I thought to myself, few minutes ago I thought he was a very pious person. When I looked at his salah, when I looked at him, I thought he was a very pious person. But now when I see how he responded to this old person who couldn't see properly, I realized that he was far from that. So people are going to judge us on our character and on our akhlaq. We must remember that non-Muslims do not come into the musalla and into the masjid here to see how we're performing our salah. But how they will judge us, how we interact with them. That we gave our word we're going to make payment on a certain date. We gave our word that we're going to deliver the goods on a certain time. We gave our word that I'll call you back shortly. Person says, I'll call you back. And he never calls back. So you made a promise that you're going to call the person back, but you didn't call the person back. Until eventually people say that he never fulfills his promise. He says he's going to do it, but he never fulfills. Is this a seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gave a promise, he waited 3 days at one particular position until finally that person came. Person says, I completely forgot. Why did you wait so long? I gave you my word. I had to fulfill that word. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kindness towards neighbors, the love that he showed to the non-Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our time is expired. There's so much that needs to be discussed with regards to the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We require bayan after bayan. But again, once again, it's not about how many bayans are given. It's how much of that bayan has been brought into my life, into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us ambassadors of Islam. That when people look at our akhlaq, when people see the way we interact, when they see our love and our kindness, then we don't even have to invite them. Our akhlaq and our character is automatically an invitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.